Welcome to the Adventure Audio Podcast. This is episode 162. This is a shorter episode. We are announcing winners of our 4i contest. So with 4i Technologies, which is based in Cochrane, Alberta, just outside of Calgary, where Laval and I both live, they have given us a couple of power meters and a couple of heartbeat monitors. They are a technology leader in the cycling space and endurance athletics. Very, very excited to have been able to do this with them. So another huge thank you to 4i and a big congratulations to our four winners. They've all been contacted, but we announce it here in this one, and we cover a couple of other things too. So thanks for tuning in. This is only our second episode of 2024. However, we do have about half a dozen awesome guests lined up that we're getting a bunch of recordings done with over the next few weeks. So you can look forward to more content, more guest interviews coming up very soon. And as always, love to hear from you, so you can reach out to us anytime at adventureaudiopodcast@gmail.com if you've got any feedback or comments. Again, thank you everybody for listening. The best way for us to grow the show is simply by word of mouth. So if you're able to give us a recommendation to anybody who you think would appreciate what we're doing with the show, we'd love that. Thank you so much, and we'll see you soon. Listen, we wanted to put together a short episode because we wanted to talk about some 4i contest winners, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But it has been historically cold in Calgary. It's been, Alberta's been the coldest place on planet Earth a couple times over the last couple of weeks, which is something.
we had this inverted temperature scenario the other day. So if people who are not Canadian could visualize the map of Canada, we've got the mainland portion, the continental portion of Canada, and we have all these, the Arctic archipelago that goes right up to within 800 km of the North Pole. And so we've got all these islands up there, these Arctic islands in Nunavut. And the warmest place in Canada, I think, was 3 days ago. I actually sent this to a previous guest, Ash Rudin, because he's a northern nerd, an Arctic guy. And the warmest place in Canada was Pangertung on Baffin Island. It was 4.4 degrees Celsius. And the coldest place was in northern Alberta, which was, I think, -44.9 or something. So the warmest place was way up high in the Arctic, and the coldest place was down here in our province.
Isn't that crazy?
It was inverted. Yep. Yeah. And it was -12 in Dallas, and they were losing their mind when I was down there.
-12 Celsius.
Yeah, and they were losing their mind. Yep.
That is really cold for,
and it snowed
for Dallas. Yeah.
Yeah. It was actually kind of chilly with the wind, but it was fun to get out there. Nobody was running, but I went for a run, and nobody was outside. It was pretty cool, literally.
Well, that's what I wanted to pick your brain about a little bit, is your bike commuting setup. I think that we have a lot of commuters that listen to the podcast. I'm an ex-commuter because now I'm either basically from home or on the road. Oh, I guess that's not true. We do have an office in the city, which is like clear across town, right near the airport. And when I do go there, I usually ride, unless I've got to get home fast to get a kid somewhere. Which is a great ride. Then I get like 65K in that day, so that's pretty awesome.
Great, that's a good training block.
But we often talk about Instagram accounts and favorites, and yours is one of mine. And you've been riding to work as if nothing has happened outside, which is hilarious. So like, it has been really, really cold. So just walk me through your setup a little bit, and then we can talk about our 4i contest winners. Like, have you always done this? Have you always been riding all winter, no matter what?
20 some years. Yep.
Okay. Yeah,
over 20 years.
When I ride in the winter, the largest concerns for me are my hands and feet. Do you have like any electric equipment, or is this all?
I have used electric socks if it gets really cold, but they're really not. I haven't found a pair that I really like, that you can't feel the wiring under your foot or that type of thing. So it all depends on the temperature. And, you know, once you hit -40, things are quite a bit different. And I've always said that that's when men and machinery start to break, is -40. And I'm not talking, everything I talk about here is ambient temperature. I don't use wind chill, because you don't even want to consider wind chill when it's -37 and you're doing 30K on the bike. You know, it feels like 80 below range or whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, if we start at the top of your head, I will tape up my cheeks, like a big piece of tape here, a big piece of tape on this cheekbone, and then my nose and the bottom of my nose, because inevitably what happens is you have to wear a face mask, and it'll slip down because of the weight of the ice that starts to form on it. That's why I froze the tip of my beak the other day.
And so you're getting a gap between like a balaclava and your goggles.
It'll be the tip of your nose. So I'll have a balaclava on, and then I'll have a neoprene or a similar type face mask. And then as you ride, it'll, from the weight of the ice, it'll start to pull down and you don't feel it. And I was riding with one of the owners of Bose Cycle the other day, John Fransky, and I kept asking him, I said, is my nose uncovered? Do I still have my nose cover on? Because I have a modified neoprene mask and I have the Royal Canadian Geographical Society patch sewn on it as an extra backup. And he said, he goes, yeah, it's still there, but it's one ugly nose cover. I'm like, what does that mean? It's an RCGS flag. It's kind of a nice little flag. So we took a selfie and I looked at the picture and the RCGS flag was down here. And what he was seeing was this white frozen 3M paper surgical tape I put on my nose as a protector. And so he thought that's why it looked gross. But anyways, I kind of froze the tip of my nose, which is not unusual. I was minus 35 that day, or minus 32, whatever it was. So you started my face, no face, nothing exposed, balaclava on, toque over top. A toque for non-Canadians is what everybody else calls a beanie. So you put a toque over top of that, helmet on, and then a neoprene or similar face mask that covers any exposed skin, and then your goggles over that, and the taping of the cheeks is to prevent that piercing cold air from getting in there and freezing. Because I will eventually, over the winter, have black marks here from freezing, just surface freezing my skin. And then you don't have to dress that warm. It's surprising because you're working. So if I leave the house cold, I know I'm dressed right. Not freezing cold, but if the first kilometer I'm kind of chilly, then I know I'm going to be okay. And so it'll be like a form-fitting base layer, either polypropylene or merino wool, very tight against the skin. Usually another layer over that that's slightly thicker. And then depending on what jacket I'm wearing that way, that day, a lightly insulated jacket or a very thin fleece vest with more of a soft shell jacket over top of that. And what you don't want to wear in really cold weather is Gore-Tex. Gore-Tex doesn't work in the cold because you need that vapor pressure from your body to push the moisture through the fabric and take advantage of that. Of that breathable fabric, but it just freezes. So Gore-Tex turns into like wearing a plastic bag. So you want something that's that allows some kind of vapor transfer between the outside and the inside. So you dress actually fairly light. Now I put pogies on my handlebars, and those are a big insulated cover that goes over your handlebar. And I've used those pogies down to minus 46 up in the Arctic riding, and I can wear a medium pair of gloves underneath that. As long as your hands are inside the pogies, you can just wear medium gloves. But of course, if you take them out to do something, your hands get cold instantly. So the hands are covered, literally and figuratively there. We've covered the hands.
But you've got no heated handlebars, not heated gloves. It's just the pogies and regular gloves, and that's enough.
Yeah, not with pogies. Yeah. Not with pogies. Just and then, they're insulated. They've got, it's like wearing a giant down mitt that slides over the end of your handlebars. So, so you can access all your controls. So you can shift gears and use the brakes. And you can even put snacks inside the pogies, depending on which ones you have. So, I'll throw stuff in there and store them in there so they're easy to access. Because every time you take your hands out at these extreme temperatures, you start to freeze instantly. And then another interesting thing is you want a jacket that's long enough, because when you're on the bike and the way the airflow hits you, it can actually travel under the front of your jacket around your waist. And, you know, quite often you get home or you get to your tent or you get to the airport and you've got this red mark along your abs because of the cold air that has infiltrated your jacket. So you want something that's going to kind of cinch up tight around the waist. And then lower body, if it's really cold, like below minus 35, I'll have a really lightly insulated pair of like a ski pant or a mountaineering type pant over top of long johns, and then generally a pair of wool knee warmers were worn just over the long johns to cover my knees, because the way you've tightened the fabric every time you pedal, it actually compresses the insulation around your knees, so you need that little extra bit of insulation. And then the feet are the most important one. They're the toughest on a bike, because you don't use your feet on a bike.
I know, and they don't get warm from exercising, nope. Right? Mine don't, not at all. I can run in cold weather.
Yep.
Oh yeah. And keep my feet warm, but
yeah, I did a 250K snowshoe race once up in the Arctic, and I just wore Salomon trail shoes with a liner sock and a pair of thicker socks, and as long as you're running, you're okay. But you can't do that on a bike, so that's where you have to wear the super super warm stuff. So the other day it was minus 35 or 32, and so it was a pair of light winter boots, liner sock, thicker sock, and then over top of that was a toe cap, a cycling toe cap. I stretched over the toe of the boot.
Okay, so
top of that, I put a Gore-Tex cycling, a Gore cycling shoe cover, which was thick, probably about a centimeter thick of insulation, and a windproof cover. So it's an insulated, really heavy duty insulated over boot for cycling, and that'll get me about. At minus 35, you can get about just over an hour out of that before you start to freeze your feet, which is enough for work. So maybe an hour and a half.
Okay, because you're about an hour to the airport.
It's slow. You'll be right. About an hour, yeah. But yeah, we went for 2 hours the other day, Fransky and I, and my toes were really cold when I got home. But
so you're not riding. You're not clipping in. You're not riding with cycling shoes. You're riding with actual winter boots and flat pedals.
I've got a double-sided pedal. And then if I'm doing a really, if I'm going to be out on a winter ride where I'm not going to be, coming in every night into a building, let's say where I'm up, camping in a tent and I'm out there all day long, I wear proper heavy duty, the warmest boots you can find. And I wear a pair of Baffin, which is a Canadian boot company, endurance boots. And they are, they're the big black, heavy duty, insulated boot. And they go up, three quarters of the way to your knee. And that's the only way to do it. And you still have to get off the bike and warm your feet up, because you just don't use your feet. And you will. And I've frozen my right toe, cycling in the Yukon. And that required a once a week trip for 8 weeks to the Calgary Burn Clinic to get that treated, but I didn't lose it. And then I've also frozen
really?
My toe. Yeah. Yeah.
And it was your three fingers
I've lost. And then
you've had lots of,
yeah, I'm like
a old farm cat with the cold.
And then I froze my, second toe on my, left foot when I climbed, Denali in the early 90s. And I almost lost that one too. So because of all the cold damage I've had, I'm sensitive now to freezing. Then the bike is just a bike I custom made myself. It's a carbon frame from China, 2.9er plus frame with Schwalbe Marathon, about a 2-inch wide tire that's studded with fenders on it. A one-by setup, very simple, all mechanical, and just a commuter, just to get back and forth in crappy weathers. Yeah, that's it.
And what kind of gearing do you have on that one-by?
I don't know what, I can't remember now. I've changed the front chainring out a couple of times. It's a one-by in the front with a full
A one-by, but not
so it. I don't know what the biggest cassette is. It's not a giant. No, I did about 8 years on a Cannondale cross bike, single speed, and then I'd put winter tires on it, and studded tires, but those thin cyclocross tires don't cut it when you get a little bit of snow. And right now is the worst, because we've got right now on the roads what I call that devil strip between the lanes. So where the tires go down the road, it's generally icy, but clear of snow, but to change lanes, you get into that loose snow mixed with salt, and that's where you crash.
You always want to have one set of tire. Yeah, you always want a tire on, like, yes. I get it, and right? And just so right now, where your traction good. Might be. Yeah, yeah.
It's too warm right now, and just for those listeners, it's minus 20. But that's where, if it's minus 30, the roads are just hard ice. But at with this fresh snow and minus 20, it's kind of dodgy.
Yeah, well, and it warmed up to snow on what mm-hmm. had been really hard polished ice too. So we've got it covered up too, so you don't even know where it is. It's like it's pretty hairy out there. You keep your wrists intact, okay?
Yeah.
As you ride
around. So that's okay, it. That's a Western Canadian or Alberta winter biking setup for me.
Well, interesting.
And ski goggles, if I didn't mention ski goggles, yeah.
So I used to ride with I've tried winter cycling boots. It's like it didn't matter. It maybe gave me I'm sure that I'm going to get an email or two or a message saying, "What are you talking about? Like these whatever boots are amazing." Not for me. It gave me like another 15, 20 minutes before I started getting really cold. And then once my feet start getting cold, they just stay cold, and like it was hard work. I got heated socks, and I haven't cycled with them yet. They do have a battery pack that like sits on your calf, mm-hmm. so it's a design. Yep. It's not like a 9-volt battery. It's like it's very specific
lithium rechargeable. Yep.
Yeah, and it's got it's flexible and really light, and it's kind of got two sections, so it molds to your calf a little bit. Like if you're wearing tights, you could see it for sure. So it's not the most aesthetically pleasing thing, but they're really comfortable and they totally work. They're super warm.
Good.
I've only walked in them though, but in like 40 below, and they were. I was like, holy shit. This is the secret. So
that's good.
Stay tuned. They felt awesome.
I have a dodgy. Yeah, I've got a dodgy pair that I've used, and they're okay. You don't really need them though because of the distance. My commute, if I go direct to work, it's like 15K. So let's call it an hour in really crappy, or an hour and a half if it's really crappy conditions. And you know, you can usually, I will get to work with very cold toes though, even with my fancy systems, if I don't wear those giant boots. But
and it hurts when you start to warm up after too. Like it's a terrible feeling, actually, right?
Screamy,
it's better to stay cold.
Screamy bukies. Yeah. You're screaming and it hurts so bad you want to throw up.
The screamy bukies. That's good. I'm going to use that. Okay. On to our 4Eye contest. I want to send another shout out to 4Eye Technologies for supporting the podcast. So we were able to run this over the last little while, which was super fun because the interesting side effect of doing it was that we got a bunch of feedback from listeners too, right? So they were entering the contest, which was great, but we got to hear from them. And most people had an anecdote about when they started to listen what the podcast means to them, which means a ton, obviously, to me. And I know that it does to you too. It's really cool to have people who are committed listeners and to have people express appreciation for what we're doing is awesome because it's the other way around. I'm just appreciative that anybody cares or wants to listen.
But you listen to my podcast?
Yeah, totally. I've gotten a couple of "where the hell did you find this guy" comments about you.
What are you thinking?
Yeah, totally. Because I mean, look, most of the people that I hang out with think that I'm fairly nuts, and I think you're fairly nuts. So it's all about perspective. Right? So and everybody's risk tolerance is somewhere else. But we had a whole bunch of people enter, and we were giving away 2 power meters, which are factory installed power meters. So you're going to need to, so for the people who won that, you're going to need to remove your crank and send it to 4Eye, and they're going to install it for you and send your crank back, and 2 heart rate monitors. So those winners were Sebastian Gagnon.
Drum roll.
Sebastian Gagnon, who's already reached back out to us, Christy Ross, Corey Reeder, and Brad Ferguson were our 4 winners. So we've already heard from all of them, so I don't need to do a repeat or anything like that. But to those 4 and everybody else who entered the contest, we really appreciate it. That was a lot of fun to do with 4Eye. And for the uninitiated, 4Eye Technologies is actually located in Cochrane, Alberta, which is like, I don't know, it's about
35K west?
Yeah, 35K west, probably from my front door. It's about an hour and 15-minute bike ride. It's a 4Eye's front door. So love that they're local. They've grown a ton. I remember when I first heard about them sort of opening up shop, and it was like this cycling technology company, and they were going to be in Cochrane. I was like, what? And they've really grown. They've got a lot of staff. They're all over pro cycling, all over pro teams, Tour de France. They're everywhere. They they've really made it, and it's really, really cool to see. So to have them support our little podcast is really a treat. And I hope that we're able to do something with them again this year. So we're talking about that now. Everybody's getting settled into 2024, but hopefully we can do some more stuff that benefits our listeners.
And for people who are really uninitiated, these power meters, what they are is they attach to the pedal of your existing pedal. And through a proprietary technology that 4i has, and it's 4i. Is that 4i's?
Correct. So yes, it's the number 4, and then the letter I in lowercase 4 times. That's how it's stylized. Yeah.
And what these, they have force transducers in them. And as you put power down through your pedal, it's able to sense that, you know, that microscopic flex of the pedal and transmit that into a power output. And then we convert that in cycling to watts, which is how we know how much power we're putting through the pedal. So it's a really innovative technology, and it's a Canadian company. It's an Alberta company in our province here, and it makes some really cool stuff. And those are big gifts. The a power meter is expensive, so that's really good that we were able to get 4i on board. Hopefully, we get to do some stuff in the future with them, including measuring our own wattage as we climb up Mauna Kea and Mauna Loa in the fall.
That's what I wanted to say. Yeah, so hopefully, 4i is somehow, you know, involved in that that little project. And it would be certainly interesting to look at some power files after that mess is over and I'm done chasing you up the hill. So I think we need to make sure that we're the exact same weight for that.
You got all summer to train.
Yeah, exactly. So anyways, thank you for reconnecting. We have guests coming up. We have some very, very good guests coming up that we're just getting scheduled in right now. We have 2 or 3 that we're speaking with. I have another person that I want to have on soon that you don't even know about yet. So I'll shoot a note about that. Somebody that you'll love for sure. And that will be a great fit for our audience. So I'm going to reach out to him soon. And everybody stay tuned. We're going to try and be a little bit more consistent with publishing and not have those types of gaps, even if we're bringing you a shorter episode like today's. But you know, we know the guests are sort of the foundation of the podcast. So we have some really cool ones coming up. So stay tuned.
Yeah, I think our next recording is on January 30th is our next recording of a guest.
That's right. So we're recording this one on the 18th. We'll have it published in the next day or two. And then so we'll have you at least 3 episodes here in January. And then we're going to have some awesome, awesome content for you in February too. And you'll see if you follow either of us on Strava, you're going to see us. I don't even know your schedule. I don't mind. You're going to see runs and bike rides all over the place, little dots all over the place. Strava, I'm traveling a lot the first half of the year, and I'm sure you are too.
Good. Excellent. Well, thanks for doing this episode. Everybody, just remember, even though where we are presently, actually most of North America is cold, there's no bad weather, just bad gear. So put your good gear on and get outside. It's there's no problem with a little bit of discomfort.
It's a great place to end it. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Pete.
Chats. See you guys.